Okay, we're going to start the top of Nun Gimel and Aleph. Yesterday we left off with the Gemara discussing the chazaka, or the ability to make a kinyan through Na'al, Gadar, or Paratz. Those three methodologies for creating what's called a chazaka that allows one to make a kinyan on a property. That kinyan allows a person to lock in the transaction so that it's an irreversible transaction. Now, the Gemara in Kiddushin, in discussing this, mentions that even if one pays money at the time of the transaction to buy or purchase the property, then in a place where you still have to write a shtar for the money that's been given. And once the money is given, you still have to write a shtar to document the loan. In that instance, the transaction is still reversible until the shtar is written or until a chazaka is done. So these are the this is the ability or the vehicles by which one finalizes the transaction. Now, the Gemara left off, we're discussing the idea that it has to be bifanav. It has to be done in front of the individual who is giving over the property. I mean, in order to demonstrate ownership here that it is a transaction, one has to do it bifanav, in front of the individual who is giving them over the property. Now, that's only true if they didn't say leik chazek ukne. They didn't go ahead and instruct them specifically to go ahead and make a kinyan on the property. If they instructed them to specifically make a kinyan on the property, that is sufficient. And we said by Nichse Agir, where there is nobody to instruct you, then obviously there is no bifanav in that instance. The last thing that we discussed yesterday is the idea of na'al, is locking up. We're going to bump into it again today. Right, the Rashbam today says it. We saw it in the Tosfos yesterday. The Rashbam says that na'al, what is the definition of na'al? How does one lock up the item in order to take possession of it? So the Rashbam explains that misirat mafteach, the giving over of the key, is the vehicle or the na'al, or is what gives a person the right to take over a property. That's only true when you have two parties. You have a party who's selling and a party who is buying. So when you have a party selling and buying, then the misirat mafteach, the giving over the key, is what generates the na'al, the locking. Whereas if you have only one party, for instance, nichse ager, the only way, according to the Rashbam, to actually take possession of it is to put in a new lock, to be Noel, to actually take in a lock and put a new lock in there. Simply locking the existing door is not sufficient because you don't have another party to do Mesirat HaMafteach, and so you have to do something that demonstrates ownership, and that only can be done right by the switching of the locks. We saw yesterday that the Reed disagrees with that. The Reed says Na'al can be accomplished not only by Mesirat HaMafteach. He says there's no way that you can accomplish the Kinyan, but he did say that the simple locking of the door is sufficient to generate a kinyan, because the preventing of others from entering the house is not just mavriach harim nechasav. It's not simply what? It's not the preventing someone from damaging someone's property, but rather, you've actually now prevented others from taking possession of the property, and that's a demonstration of balut according to the Ri. So now the Gemara continues today, and on the second line in the Gemara, by Rav, matan noheich, what's the din by a matana? So far we dealt with mecher, when we dealt with a sale, right, or a transaction, the Gemara says, there we need bifanav. That now gadar uparatz has to be done bifanav. It's not bifanav, you have to do lech hazek uknei. What's the din by a matana? Am shmuel mighty by lelabo. Why does Rav even have a question? Hashto ma mecher dekayoiv leizuze. Right, in a case where you have a transaction and you're handing over cash. Remember before we said that when you give over in a transactional situation, that even once you paid for the item, even though in general kesef is a kinyan, that the Gemara Kedushin qualifies that and says in a place, that's only in a place where they don't write a shtar. In a place where they write a shtar, then the kesef in itself is not sufficient to create the kinyan. So here you have a kesef that's being handed over, and you still need, right, some sort of chazak or shtar in order to finalize the transaction. And over there we say, yimarle lech chazek kneyin, ilo lo. If he says, go ahead and take possession of it, it works. If not, not. Matana lo koshkein. Then certainly by a matana, it should be the same thing. Meaning that you don't have the money being exchanged in the case of a matana. So over there, in order for you to come and take possession of the property, right, we need the individual to instruct you to take possession. If when you hand it over money and it's obvious that there's a transaction going on, nevertheless, we still need the instruction of the mocher to go lechazek uknei, then certainly in a case where matana, where there is no exchange whatsoever, the person who's trying to take possession of the property has to be instructed to take possession, lechazek uknei, in order that there be, right, a clear demonstration of ownership, but given by the other individual. So Umar says, wait, what about Rav? How come Rav has a question? Shmuel says it's so obvious. Why did Rav have a question? Rav says, Rav Sabar, man diyoiv matana ba'ayin yofe yoiv. If someone gives a gift, gives it in the most generous manner. What does that mean? If he gives it in the most generous manner, it means that he doesn't, once he's given the gift, he doesn't need to say, lei chazek uknei. But the generosity of the gift includes, you go take possession of it right away. You don't need my approval. You don't need to be standing there. You just go and take possession of it. Now Shmuel is, in other places, believes, or paskins, that also, matana ba'ayin yofe. He believes that you also give a gift ba'ayin yofe. So how come over here he doesn't apply the same principle? So the Rashbam says that, Tosfos says, other Rishonim say it here, that Shmuel, only the application of the din of Ayin Yafeh, Shmuel says, is only once the matana has been locked in, that there's been a kinyan on the matana. Once you have a matana that has been given and been had a kinyan by the recipient of the matana, then we say everything's Ayin Yafeh. That means that the giver or the seller or the, right, the person who granted the gift gave everything. It means that he left nothing for himself. So there we apply Ayin Yafeh once we know the transaction is done. But in the application of the transaction or the generation of the transaction, we don't apply the principle of Ayin Yafeh. We're supposed to Rav, who's saying that even at the moment of the transaction, we say Ayin Yafeh. From the moment the person decides to gift it, that's already Ayin Yafeh. And even in the methodology or the ability to create the kinyan on the transaction, there we will say Ayin Yafeh. Now, Vekama, I'm going to ask the question, how much? We're talking about Nal Gadaru Paratz. How much must you do in order to create a kinyan? What's considered Nal Gadaru Paratz? So the Gemara says, Koshu, any amount is sufficient. Kiddush Shmuel, like the din of Shmuel, the Amar Shmuel, Gadar, Geder, Vishli Mulasara, someone puts up a fence and fills it out until it reaches 10 tefachim, Uparatz Pirza Kadeshi Kaneis, or it breaks an opening in order to enter the Yatzaba, or to go out, Harizu Chazaka. That is a chazaka. So the Gemara says, "Hi geder, hey chidami." This fence that's being placed over here, what is the fence? Ilemed demi kara lo have a salkilo. V'hashenami lo salkilo. If you say that before people were unable to enter the field because of this fence, now you expanded the fence or extended the fence, and they still cannot enter the field, then my ovid, you haven't done anything of significance. You haven't changed, right, the status quo. The status quo is that nobody can enter the field. Right, and it remains the status quo. So your extension of the fence does not demonstrate any ownership. Again, here, when we talk about chazakah, right, there are different ways to view chazakah. One is, and probably the most probable way to understand chazakah, is demonstration of balus. Your ability to show that you are the owner of this property. So you have to do something that demonstrates ownership. Now, it could be that you yourself must demonstrate the ownership, or whatever you do demonstrates ownership. It's two possibilities, right? In that the action that you've done demonstrates ownership through the totza'ah, right, the outcome of it, or does it have to be that you physically are the one who demonstrates ownership over the property? So that's the two possibilities of what. So here what we're looking at, was looking at a fence that's now been extended. So now again, when you extend the fence, demonstration of ownership comes about because either you've done something that changes the status of the field, or the totza'ah, the outcome of what you've done, is now different. Over here, the outcome is no different. Meaning that before nobody could get in, now nobody can get in. That means that your action also is not an action that demonstrates balut, ownership over the property. So now, Amari says, okay, so what's the other possibility? Elami karavu salkilo. Beforehand, they were able to enter the property. Ba'ashalo salkilo. And now they cannot enter the property. That's something significant. Before everybody can enter the property, you put up a fence, now they can't enter the property. So Mar says, Tuva Avod, what's the Chiddush then? Of course he's Kona in that case. That's a significant action. Over there again, his action, the demonstration of Balus is significant, and the Totsah, the outcome of his action is significant. Before people were able to enter the property, now they cannot. So that can't be, first of all, that's not defined as Koshahu. The Gemara just said, oh, Shmuel's statement proves to us that all you need is a Koshahu. This isn't a Koshahu, this is a significant action. So that can't be the case. So lo tzricha, this is the case. What is the case of Geder? Demikara v'salkila b'ravcha. Before, right, they used to get in easily to the property. V'hashto k'salkila b'duchaka. And now it's more difficult to get into the property. So he did something that now inhibits, right, or encumbers people who are trying to enter the property. So again, it wasn't a significant action where he changed the status quo. So much so that he changed the status quo. But it's enough that he's now made it different. And people will feel that difference. People who are trying to enter the property will know that he's now demonstrated some sort of action or balus ownership over here because they find it more difficult to enter the property. And he himself has done something of significance by doing such. So that would be the answer. Over here is where, when we were talking about an introduction, this is where the Rashbam comes in and says, and we'll see in a second by Pirtz also, where he comes in and says, the Gemara does not use the answer of Na'al, that he simply locked the gate. Right? He went ahead and locked up the gate, because that is not, right, sufficient in terms of demonstrating ownership according to the Rashbam. Alright, Hai Pirtz, Hechi Dami. So now we said, right, we said before, Na'al Gadar Paratz. So now we just explained Gedar Kolshu. What is Paratz, Golduhu, or Pirtza? So, Ilay Medemi Karava Ailibo. In the beginning, the people could enter the property. Vashanami Ailibo. And his, you know, breaking a hole also allows him to enter the property. Then, Mayovat. Again, he didn't change anything. He hasn't done anything that is of significance. Before people enter the property, now they still enter the property. Vela, what's the case? The Mikara Lova Ailibo. And before, they were not able to enter. Vahashaka Ailibo. And now they are able to enter the property. Meaning that before there was a fence and nobody could enter the property. Now he punches a hole through it and now people can enter the property. Then Tuva Avod. Again, that's too significant to be called a Koshahu. That's not a Koshahu. That's a significant action. If you have a significant action, of course, you make a, then you have a Kinyan on the property. So that can't be the Koshahu we're talking about. What's the case? Latricha. To me, Akaravi Ali Babadochaka, that originally they were able to get in, but they had to squeeze, they had to crawl under the fence, they had to squeeze through, it was a narrow area. Then his little change over here made it Ashailabiravcho. Also now, before they used to get in, it was difficult. Now, instead of squeezing through, he made a little adjustment, and now everybody can get in very easily.
The Gemara is saying in the Tuba, in terms of what he accomplished, in terms of the amount of effort, in terms of the amount of actual work that he did, a small amount. So what's the, because we're assuming that, you know, it would seem that a simple way of understanding culture is, you know, there a little on point where, you know, there's a certain point where you can enter an opening and you know, something larger than that, you can't enter it, something larger than that, you can enter it. It was like always.
Right. I think in the end, that's the Gemara's answer, which is that before you could, you know, squeeze through, and now he took a little action, and now you can get through in an easier way. So it's not, the action there is less significant. I think that's what the Gemara is after, is the least significant action that will demonstrate ownership. And that's why I'm saying Koshu. Koshu, we want to know what is the least significant action that demonstrates ownership. And that's the case over here. You look in the Rashbam, the Rashbam says, it's Vahashra Kaili Biravko, a little bit on your, addressing your issue. He says, it says, the Purta Ahani, that little bit that he did helped. Velo Baili Tirutse Kdemi Kara Lo Aili Klau. In the beginning, they couldn't get in at all. That now they can get in with difficulty, which is what your suggestion is. So that before they couldn't get in at all. Now he makes a small adjustment. Now they can get in, you know, squeezing through. He says, the tuva ava deshavya petach. Again, the Rashbam says that's too significant an action. You've now made a petach. A petach is a big change. No matter, even if it goes from zero to dochak, that's a petach, and that's a significant change. If you change the petach itself from being dochak to ravcha, that's a small change. Right, so that's what the Gemara is after again, is the least significant action. Right. So the least significant action that you take in order to allow you access to, or allow you to demonstrate ownership over here. Alright. Okay, the Gemara continues. Amar Rab Asi, Amar Rab Yochanan. Natan Tzror Vehoil, Natan Tzror Vehoil, Harizeh. Not till Tzorah Ba'oriel, how do you say Chazakah? Person places a pebble or a little stone in, and it helps. Takes out a stone, and it helps. That is a Chazakah. So that's the Koshu. We're talking about small movement, small pebble put in, small pebble taken out, and he's able to demonstrate ownership through this. So Gemara wants to know, my Natan or my Tantal. What did he do? When he put in a pebble, he took out a pebble, what did he do that changed the status of this field that he's able to make a Kinyan over here? So Gemara says, Ilay min Natan Tzorah v'sachar mayo mino. Right, what do you suggest? That there was water flowing, the field was being flooded. There was this huge flow of water coming into the field, and he plugged the hole to stop the water coming into the field. Or, Natal Tzror, Vafik Maya Mino. On the other side, the field was flooded, and he pulled out a pebble, and now allowed the field to drain. Right, so those are the, is that the possibilities I demonstrated of Chazakah? Gemar says, Hai Mavriach Arim Nichse Chaveruhu. That is not demonstration of ownership. Why? All you're doing over here is protecting your friend's property. You're aiding your friend's property. And the Rashbam formulates it over here. The Chol Yisrael Mitzuvim, Atzil Mamon, Chavrehim, and a Hezek. Jews are charged with protecting their friend's property. Every Jew's got to take care of his friend. And part of taking care of your friend is ensuring that his property is not damaged. So here, when you put a pebble in and you stop the field from flooding, you're not demonstrating ownership. You're simply doing the mitzvah of taking care of your friend and protecting your friend's property. When you pull out the pebble to let the field drain, again, you are not doing something that demonstrates ownership, but rather you're doing what's incumbent upon you, which is to help out your friend. And over here also, you're helping out your friend by draining out the property. So from here, by the way, this is where the Rashbam and others get their principle that the simple closing of a door is not demonstration of ownership. Because they say this is the same case of Mavriach Harim and Echasav. All you're doing is protecting what's left inside. When you close the door, you're protecting the possessions that are found inside the house. Right? When you close the door, you're preventing that which is inside from running out. So again, the closing of the door, or the locking, you know, of the door in that sense, is not a demonstration of ownership, simply Mavriach Arim Nechasav. So that's where the Reed disagrees. The Rashbam, he says it explicitly over here, that a person who is Na'al B'Mavteach Nechseger Eino Chazaka De'intel Osem Mitzvah. He's doing the mitzvah, Lishmor Bait Chavero, to protect his friend's possessions. Umavriach Arim Nechseger Eino. Again, it's the protection against Nezek happening to the items. The Reed disagrees over here and says, why? Why is that different? Why is it different in the case that the Gemara brings down versus our case over here? And that is because in the case of the Ger, right, the Ger doesn't exist anymore. He's gone. His possession is Hefker. So when you say that he's going to protect his friend's property, there's nothing to protect anymore. The only thing that you are doing, and the only thing that you're accomplishing now when you lock that door, is that no one can come in and make a kinyan on that property. You're not, he's not around. The Ger is not here to protect his property anymore. So when you say that all you did was Mavriach Harim Nechasav, there's nobody to protect. It's Hefker. Protecting Hefker is not Mavriach Harim Nechasav. That is demonstration of ownership, because what you've now done is prevented others from getting access to the property. So that is the machlokus here between the Ashbam, other Rishonim, and the Tosfos about what is classified as Mavriach Harim Nechasav or not in this instance. Right, so now, what is this case of Natan and Natal? Right, it says, Natan Tzror, did Samad Lamayo. Natal Tzror, Varvach Lamayo. So it's the exact, it's the other way around, which is that when he went ahead and placed a pebble in there, he was able to then lock the water in the location. Natal Tzror, he took out the pebble and he let water into the field. So now what is he doing? He is feeding the field, basically. He's watering the field. Watering the field is demonstration of ownership. How is he watering the field here? Either he's taking out a pebble and letting the water in. As opposed to before, where he put the pebble in to stop the water, here we're saying he's taking the pebble out, and now water is entering the field. The allowing of water to enter the field is hashkaya, is feeding the field, is watering the crops. That is demonstration of ownership. Before we said that plugging the hole, right, was to stop the water coming in. Here he's plugging the hole to stop the water going out. So he's preventing the water from exiting the field. By preventing the water from exiting the field, he's allowing the field to be watered, because the water now will remain in the field. So that is a demonstration of ownership. That is significant or sufficient to demonstrate ownership over here. And that's what it means to take a pebble out, put a pebble in. That will be enough to generate a chazaka over here. Now, Amar Rav Asi. Now we're going to get into the, you know, the Gemara always does. Once it's established a principle, it wants to test the limits of the principle. We're now at that point where it's going to start to test the limits of the principle. V'Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shtei Sadot. You have two fields, Umeitzar Echad Beneihem. And there's a border, some sort of border between the fields, which is either that there is a fence that's along there, some sort of fence or a depression that separates or makes the fields into two independent fields. Hechzik Be'achat Mehem Liknota Kana. If a person is machzik in one of the fields in order to acquire that field, that's good kinyan, it works, no problem. Now, on the other hand, if he goes ahead, liknot ota ve'et chaverta, he makes a chazakah, he does some action on the one field, and through that he wants to acquire both this field and the next field. Right? Kana, ota kana, chaverta lo kana. It works for the field that he's in, it does not work for the field that he is not in. Right, so if we think again of what we're talking about here until this point, we're talking about demonstration of ownership. That if there's a meitzar, if there's some sort of border between them, your demonstration of ownership on one field has no implications for the other field, because they are separate entities. Being separate entities, you have no ability then to be kone the other field through demonstration of ownership over this side. So, liknot et chaverta, afutal lo kana. Right, over here, again, if he goes ahead and tries through the work on this field to acquire the other field, he's acquired nothing. Because what he did in this field was not intended to acquire this field, so he did nothing there. And his intention to acquire the other field does not work because there's a border between you. So now, Boy Rabbi Zera, Erzik Bachat Mehem Niknotota, Ve'eta Meitzar, Ve'et Chaverta, Mahu. So now, what happens if he goes ahead and he demonstrates ownership over here, but he wants to acquire this field, the border, and the other field? So now, is the acquisition of the border basically take down the fence? Being that when you intend to acquire the field and the border, the border is actually shared by both properties. The fence or the depression, the benefit of that is shared by both properties. So if you are able to take possession of the fence or the border somehow, this depression somehow that separates the fields, does that now allow you access to the other field? I mean that taking ownership over the division, does the ownership of the division now allow demonstrable action over the other field? So now, over here, it's not clear, right, whether the Gemara is asking whether he can acquire the other field or whether he can actually acquire the border itself. Right? That's the so that's the question over here. It's not clear where the question of the Gemara at this point is simply that he can acquire the fence through this action, or can he acquire the fence plus the other field. Right, so now if he goes ahead, says right, that the border and the land are one, v'kani. That each one is independent, and we don't know whether you can do it, teku. So the way this Girsa reads in the Gemara, it seems to be the Gemara, you could read it, that the Gemara is asking, does the border go along with the property? So that's the Gemara's question here. Does the border have the same significance or same din as the property? Therefore, if you take possession of the property, you get the Meitzar. Right? Or not, are the two separate entities, Haduchudekai, Vaduchudekai, Teiku. If you look in the Girsa Bach, the Girsa Bach reads a little differently. If you look at the Bach over here, Aleph, he says, nearby Sfarim Achirim, Hai Meitzar, Dahai Arah, Udahai Arahu, Vikoni. So the way the Girsa Bach reads is that this border belongs to this property and that property. Now the Gemara's question is it chad arahu? Is it one land, meaning that the two properties are now they one because you've taken possession of the division, or are they separate entities? So you see from the Bach's gear, so the question is clearly, can he take possession of the other piece of land on the other side? So you could read it, it's not mukhlach the way I read it the first time, but I'm just saying that you could see based on the girsaot that they're different. The question could either be, does he take possession of the property and the meitzar, or does he take possession of this property and the other property because now the meitzar has been deemed insignificant because he owns the Meitzar, and the Meitzar now has relevance to both properties. The Gemara leaves this as a teiku, right? That there is the question is unresolved in this instance. This is all true, right? I mean, just to qualify everything we've done now, this is all true b'nichse ager. This is all true when we're talking about hefker, where someone's trying to take possession of something, as opposed to by mocher, which we know from the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara says it. Right, it's a famous statement, Sadna the Arah Chadahu. That the whole world, all property in the world is one unit. Therefore, if a person purchases 10 properties, even though they're dispersed over the world, if he makes a kinyan on one of the properties, he makes a kinyan on all 10 of the properties. Meaning that you don't have to, right, meaning that kinyan, when someone is giving you a kinyan, when someone is asking you to make a kinyan over there, then you don't have to demonstrate ownership on every single property. You have to do some action that makes the transaction irreversible. Now, this all speaks to when you've already paid the money for 10 fields. You're given money for 10 fields, and now you go to demonstrate ownership to make an irreversible transaction. If you go and demonstrate ownership over one of the fields, that works to make a kinyan on all 10 of the fields. Whereas over here, by Nixay Agir, there is nobody to tell you to go make a kinyan. There is no money that's exchanging. So the only way to demonstrate ownership is by one to take possession of the fields. Just because you took possession of the Gears field here, it doesn't mean you got the one, 100 miles away or 100 kilometers away, you didn't get that field. Because the demonstration of ownership over here has no relevance to the field that is over there. And you can't take possession of the Nixay Agir until you actually go over there and take possession of it. So the Gemara's questions over here are all relevant to Nixay Agir. They're not relevant to a transactional situation where the money will demonstrate how much possession you get when you do the chazakah. I mean, if you paid for 10 fields and then you do a chazakah, you get 10 fields with that chazakah. Pay for one field, even though you're trying to buy 10, you do a chazakah, you only get the one field or whatever money you've given. That's the, right, so that's the difference over here. This case is qualified or unique to these cases of Nixay Agir. Bayi Rabbi Elazar, Hekzik b'meitzar liknot shtehem mahu. So this is along the lines of your question, Joel. What happens if he takes possessions of the actual border, right, in order to acquire both of them? meaning that I think, again, shtehem over here can mean the board around a field or both fields around it. Mi amrinin hai meitzar afsara de arahu. This is a term that we've heard before, that the border is the reins of the land, meaning that it's an it's a function or a something that is utility related to the land. It's to the benefit of the property. Meaning that the property is the main function over here. The property is the main item that's here. And the fence is simply a right extension of the land. It's something that is there to help the land or protect the land. Bekani, and therefore you would be able to be kune. Odilma, haylu chudekai, v'haylu chudekai. Exactly your question. That a meitzar is totally independent of the land. And therefore the kinyan on the meitzar has absolutely no impact on the land that's around it or the properties that are surrounding it. Again, the Gemara leaves it as a teiko, an unresolved question over here. So, you would have to be land, meitzar land, you'd have to make a separate, right, kinyan on all three of those items in order to gain possession of them, because the Gemara leaves all of them in as a teiko.
The Rashbam compares it to the reisim of the behemah.
Right.
You take the rope of behemah and kinyan.
The reins, right. That is how it would function, right. That it's simply, it's a way to... Right, to control the item, right? The fence it works in the same way. There's a reins of the land, that the fence, since it works to control or to protect the land, it have the same function as reins do by behema. All right. Amrav Nachman, Amrav Avua. Shnei batim zeh lifnei mizeh. So again, the Gemara is now going to try to address, we just had two fields next to each other with a border. Now you have two houses, one inside of the other, meaning there's a captive house inside of an outer house. So now, when you have the captive house and the outer house, the outer house has no rights with regard to the inner house. I mean, they exist, and they don't need the inner house at all. The inner house, on the other hand, the only way for it to get out is to pass through the outer house or the outer property. So in that case, the pnimi, the inner house, has rights of passage through the outer house. Okay, why is that relevant? Because we've seen it a second. Now, what happens if he... Liknotet the pnimi, afachitzon, if he goes ahead now and goes, hekzik bechitzon liknoto, kano. If he takes possession of the outside house in order to acquire, good kinyan. Liknoto tovera tepnimi, if he tries to acquire through that the outer house, right, not the outhouse, but the outer house, and the inner house, right there, liknot, then he works, functions to chitzon kana, the outer house it works, pnimi lo kana, the inner house does not work. Why? Because again, by regards to the outer house has no rights or relevance to the inner house whatsoever. So therefore, when you make a kinyan on the outer house, that's all you get, not the inner house. Liknota to pnimi, on the other hand, if you try to acquire the inner house, afa chitzon nami lo kana. Right? If he wants to, when he's in the outer house, he does something or makes a kinyan over the outer house, and through that he wants to acquire the inner house, he's done nothing. Because the outer house has nothing to do with the inner house. Now, what happens? Hiksik bipnimi, liknoto kano. If he just goes into the inner house, makes a kinyan it, that works. Liknoto tovet achitzon kana shnehem. Makes the kinyan in the inner house, in order to take possession of the inner house and the outer house, it works. Why? Because that's the exact difference that we described before. The inner house does have some rights over the outer house, and that's the right of passage. That right of passage gives it relevance to the outer house. And therefore, when you make a kinyan on the inner house, you can also make a kinyan on the outer house. Again, that's only when he takes possession of the inner house. If his action within the inner house works as a kinyan, right, then it functions also to take the outer house if he specifies it. But if he's simply standing on the inside and wants to take possession of the outer house, then we're not going to say that that works. Why? Because the significance of his kinyan is that the pnimi, the inner house, has rights of passage to the outer house. So now you're going to stand on the inner house and then say, I only want to take acquisition of the outer house? That doesn't make sense. You're taking the tafel without the ikar. The ikar is the inner house and then the right of passage to the outer house. If you say, oh no, I'm not going to take the inner house, but I'm simply going to take possession of the right of passage, which is the tafel, that doesn't work over here. All right, so now... Amar Rav Nachman Bar Amar Rav Nachman Boneh Platrin Gidolim B'Nichsei Ager. It's an amazing Gemara now. Again, till now we've been discussing Nichsei Ager. We talked about how you take possession of Nichsei Ager, land, right? Then we talked about land with the Mitzar, with the border. Then we talked about inner house, outer house. Now Gemara says, here, the property of a Ager, big property. Person comes on, builds a mansion on the property, Platrin Gidolim B'Nichsei Ager, Uba Acher B'Midlehem Daltot Kana. But he didn't put doors on the house yet. He built this huge mansion, he didn't put on doors. Another individual, a third party, comes, puts on the doors and locks them. Guess who gets possession? The one who puts up the doors. My Tama. Kama livnei ba'amu hudapich. The other guy, all he did was stack bricks on the property. Stacking bricks on the property is not exertion of ownership. That's not demonstration of ownership. Building, right, is not a demonstration of ownership. Locking, putting up doors, preventing others from access, that is demonstration of ownership. Let's say, so what we said before, that one of the ways to get possession of property is actually if you do some action on the property, like rafak bapurta, you dig a little bit on the property, you do some sort of action on the property, that's enough to take possession of. So over here, when he built the house, he also had to dig a little bit on the property. So why isn't that digging of the property, isn't that enough of a demonstration of ownership? So Tosfos says over here, he wants to differentiate. He says that the building a foundation or digging for a foundation, right, is done nothing to benefit the property itself. That is, in order to benefit the house that you're building on it, but does nothing to the property. I mean, in terms of harusha, doing rafak bapurta, loosening some dirt, is equivalent to plowing the land. That benefits over here. You're planting, then a little plowing is good for the field. But if you're building a house and digging a foundation, you've done nothing to the land itself. Right, until the doors are installed, and then there's a usable house here, a functioning house. But on the other hand, and Tosfos says, even to the other side, that actually now what you've done is you've deteriorated, or you've done it to the detriment of the property, because without the doors, nobody can live there. And you've ruined the field from being able to use for planting now, for Zeria. So there's a certain point at which you've actually caused a diminution in the value of the property, which is that, right, nobody can live here, and it can't be used for planting anymore. So now you've left it in this, you know, in the between state. That in between state doesn't get you possession. What gets you possession is putting the doors on the house. It's Amar of Dimi Bar Yosef, Amar Lazar, Hamotzeh Platrin B'Nichsei Ager, someone who finds a mansion on the Nichsei Ager, V'sad Behen Siyud Echad, he does some nice, you know, finishing touches, plastering, fancy, you know, plastering, Ukyur Echad, or he paints one picture, Kan'an, he's then able to take possession of the property. V'kama, how much do you have to do in order to take possession of the property? Amar of Yosef, Amma, has to be an Amma by an Amma to be considered significant. In Amar of Yichista, Kenegra Peltach, it has to be opposite the doorway where you enter. Now it's interesting, right? I don't know why the Mesoros HaShas does not cross-reference it here, or the, right, I don't see this. So I was shocked that he didn't cross-reference here, but there's a Gemara in Daf Samach that was coming up, which has to do with, right, what does this remind you of? Amma al-Amma, Kenegra Peltach? Right, is Zecher the Churban. What you have to do is Zecher the Churban, which is what the Gemara, Rav Yosef and Rav Chista are quoted on Daf Samach, exactly in this context. In Zecher the Churban, it has to be Amal Amah and Keneged HaPetach. Yet, there the Gemara, the Mesoros HaShas on Daf Samach quotes cross references here, but it doesn't cross reference here to the Gemara on Daf Samach. But what do you see from here? I think you see a significant part of the halacha. What is the point of, over here, when he does some siyud, when he does some sort of plastering and finishing touch, or he does some sort of painting, you know, some sort of nice decoration that he does on the house, right? So what is the point over here? We know is demonstration of balut. So the Gemara over here is saying, how do you have demonstration of balut? It has to be a significant space, which is amal ama. And number two, it has to be keneged petach, which means that it's visible to anybody entering the house. So from that, you know what the halacha is by zikr l'churban. Right, what's the halacha of zikr l'churban? Zikr l'churban is not simply leaving an aman ama, right, and, you know, having somewhere, but it has to be connected to Petra, means it has to be something that is significant and visible. I mean, that's exactly what you need here to demonstrate a Kenyan is significant and visible. That way you know that also by Zecher l'Churban, in order to be Zecher l'Churban, you need something that is significant and visible, right, to everybody entering, so that it is clear that you're doing something Zecher l'Churban. Not simply, and that's what the Mishabur discusses this about people, a lot of people do this, that they, instead of putting a Keneged HaPetach, they put it above the Petach, right, above the door, they leave an Amon Amos space. He says maybe to be Melamed Tzchus is that because the Baal HaBayit always sits in the house, and therefore he's always facing the door, and he sees it. But he says that the real inyan is that anybody entering the house will see this item. It'll be directly visible and, right, obvious to them that there's something left, Zecher l'Churban, and you see that from the Gemara over here. Because the only way it works to demonstrate a kinyan is if that everybody knows that you made it, did something to this house. How will they know? Amal amal, when they walk in and they see it right away. Right, putting it above the door is not something that is, right, of visibility or easy visibility, and that won't demonstrate ownership over here. Amar Av, Amram, Hai Milso, Amar Lan Rav Sheshis, Barinun Einin Rivatita. Rav Amram says this. This idea, or this halacha of Sheshis taught us, and he showed us through a brisa that it's true. Someone who lays out beds, he makes beds, lays out beds in the property of a ger, there's a house there, he goes ahead and lays out beds, and he sleeps there. and he lays down there, then that will be significant enough to generate a kinyan over the property. Now, what's this? I'll come back and explain a little more about this, but let's see what the price is. The Tanya, right, so he says, we have a Avarino Einin Mimnasisamai. What is that? He lit our eyes up with the Brisa. Right, this is the Tanya. We have a Brisa. Ketzad b'chazakah. How does the chazakah work? Now, the chazakah here is a taking possession of a Eved Kanani. Right, Eved Kanani has the same thing as Karka. Right, and since it has the same thing as Karka, you can have a Kesef Shtar and Chazakah. What is the chazakah that you can take possession of an Eved Kanani through? What's a chazakah? Na'alo minalo, ohitr lo minalo. That what he does some sort of work, that is the type of work that an Eved, that demonstrates that he is servicing this individual. He ties his shoes for him. Right? Or he unties his shoes and takes them off. Oh, shalich kelav acharad beit merchatz. He carries his clothing after him to the bathhouse. Vivshito, he addresses him, erchito, he washes him, sacho, right? He anoints him, gardo, he combs him down, whatever they used to do with the combs, they used to scrape the skin. Vilbisho, he dresses him, vinilo, he puts his shoes on, vigbio, right? Kano, and he lifts him up, then he is kano, him. So all these items are demonstrations of ownership over the Eved. Why? Because the Eved is functioning in a servitude, a manner of servitude that indicates that he is an Eved. And that's enough of Chazakah to generate a Kinyan over here. Right. And I think the Gemara is just going through. The Braisa is just going through all the items, like a whole series in the flow of what would be a process in the Beit HaMerchatz. Right. So I quoted you the answer to the Rashbam, which was that it's just a agav that is brought down in the flow of things. The Rashash, thank you, Tzvi, mentions that it's a difference between...
Different.
The action could be different. One could be tying and untying shoes. One could be putting on a shoe and taking off the shoe versus... Right, okay. Amar Rav Shimon. So Rav Shimon says, Lo tehei chazakah gedola me'agba. There's no greater chazakah than lifting up. Shagba koneh b'chol makom. Chagba works in all places. So my kamar, what's the difference between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon over here? What is Rabbi Shimon saying? Hachi gamar, higbil the rabo kano. So if the Eved Kanani carries his master home, then that's a kinyan. Because why? He's using the Eved in a function of avdut. Higbil rabo lo, where on the other hand, if his master picks him up, lo kano. Why? Because there's no demonstration of avdut there. So then Amar Rabbi Shimon, lo tei chazakah gedola me'agba. Wait a minute. There's no greater chazakah than lifting something up. Shagbah koneh b'chol makom. Hagbah works in every form of kinyan. Hagbah is the greatest kinyan. It works in every type of, anywhere you are, it works. It works in place of any other kinyan. So Hagbah is the best kinyan. So why over here shouldn't Hagbah work also? If you lift up the Eved Kanani, why shouldn't that be a good kinyan over here? And that's what Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama are arguing about. They're arguing about when the Adon, the master, lifts up the Eved Kanani, is that a good kinyan? According to the Tanakhama, no, because there's no demonstration of Avdut, and therefore it's not a good kinyan. So Rabbi Shimon says, forget about Avdut. This is just a regular kinyan. Hagbah is a kinyan. If you list them up, that's a good kinyan. So that should work over here. Now, this idea of itziya mitato, laying out the bed, why does laying out the bed and sleeping on the bed give you a kinyan over here? So the Rashbam says that the idea of demonstration over there in itziya madot is because nene gufo min akarka. Your body got benefit, right, through the ground. So by your sleeping there on the bed, right, you are now benefiting from the land itself. Benefit from the land itself is enough to generate chazakah or ownership over here. Why? So the Rashbam says, Vinir Beinai, the reason I think this works is because what's the source for chazakah working? How do you know that a chazakah works? So the Gemara in Kedushin quotes a number of psukim, and here the Rashbam brings them over here as well. It says, the karka nikne b'chazakah b'kedushin, because of the pasuk says, v'shavu barachem asher tafastem, right, b'met tafastem, how did you take possession? B'yeshiva, living in it. And another pasuk, v'yirashtem otav yishavtem ba, b'mer yirashtem, how did you take possession? B'yeshiva, living in it. V'ayinu b'chalal yeshiva. That's the same thing as living in the property. Laying and sleeping on the property is like living on it because you're getting benefit from the land itself. It's servicing you, the land, and that benefit is what generates the chazakah over here. So because of that, Tosus says, that's only if you lay out a bed and you sleep on it. But if you simply might go, what happens if you just make beds? Or you lay on the ground without any bed. There, it's not considered good enough. Why? Because we need a chazakah chashuva. You need something that's of significance. So just simply, you know, you come into the house and you lay on the floor and go to sleep, that's not enough even though there's hana, it's not a significant enough action. The other hand, if you make beds, even though the action is significant, there's no hanah from the ground, so that doesn't work either. You need both. You need hanah from the ground and an action that's significant. So it only works when you make a bed and you sleep in it, in that house. Now the karka is giving you a benefit, hanah gufo, plus you've done something that's significant. And because of that, then you can generate a chazakah. So that's the qualification. Again, like we saw before with the tziur and the drawing. It has to be significant, amal ama, and it has to be visible so that there's a clear demonstration, something of significance. So every time we look at chazakah, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for significance, and we're looking for, right, something that is a visible or obvious demonstration of ownership over here, hanat aguf in some way. All right, so now, the Gemara continues, Amar Yirmiyah bir'ah, Amar Rav Yehuda, Haimon deshoda lifta beipilei da'ara deger. Well, a guy takes, he has a
turnip or a
seed, and he has a turnip seed or some sort of right, seed that he goes, he throws it. He's walking by and he throws the seed into the ger's property, and it lands right on one of the furrows on the property. So there he says, lo havi chazakah, that doesn't create a problem. Even though planting, zriah, would be demonstration of ownership and would be enough to take possession. Here, when you throw the seed and it lands in the furrow, that's not a demonstration of ownership. My time. But you don't know the shada, lo havi shivcha. When you throw the seed in there, there is no immediate shevach that comes to you. Hashta the kashavach, mamela kashavach. When the seed roots or takes root in the field, it's happening by itself. It's passive. That means that all your action did was put the seed in the field, but you didn't plant the seed. All you did was throw the seed in. When the seed later grows and is collated in the field, it's doing it on its own. And therefore, your action is not considered a maisa of zriah unless you cover it over. If you plant it and cover over, that's zriah, then your action is what, then it's an action of zriah, and there you can take possession of the property. But if you simply throw the seed and it's laying on top, and then it's collate and it grows, that's not considered planting. Right?
It's like grumma. Right.
Right, it's not enough. Right, here, we do not associate the action with you. The outcome is not associated with you. And therefore, either, again, the totza'ah is not a totza'ah that is of significance from you, or the pula, your action is not a significant action in order to take possession over here. The Rashbam points out here also that achilat peirot, eating the peirot from nixeh ger, right, is also not a chazakah. Why? Because achilat peirot is not a kinyan. How do we know that? We know that from the before by chazakah, right? By shlosh hashanim. If you eat peirot on the property, you have a chazakah to eat peirot, but you do not, that does not give you rights or chazakah to the land itself. That the eating of peirot is just a demonstration that you have rights to eat peirot over here, but it's not, right? It's a, exactly, it doesn't need a demonstration. Right, so by nechzei ger, it will not be sufficient. Just like the throwing of a seed in will not be significant or sufficient, so too, eating a peirot is not enough of a demonstration ownership for the land. Maybe for the peirot to take, to pay what you took, but not for the land itself. Okay, we'll stop here.